Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Hello, my radio friends, wherever you are in the world. Good afternoon for me. It might be good morning or good evening. So happy that you're here to join us. And if you are listening on the playback, then welcome as well. Happy to have you. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention to you is that if you'd like to connect with me or you have questions and you don't know where to post them, there is a Cynthia Rose Medium group on Facebook. Brandon is actually monitoring that. And you can connect with me as Cynthia Rose Medium on Facebook. I'm actually on Twitter, although I don't do much. I'm on Instagram, and I post all of the shows on a Cynthia Rose Medium playlist on YouTube. You can also listen to the playback on Om Times through Podbean, and I do repost. So either way, welcome. Today I want to talk a little bit about my guest, Rich Hawes, and his book, Sacred Quantum Metaphysics. And I'm just going to read a little bit about here. So Rich Hawes is a writer, metaphysician, and entrepreneur. Rich Hawes, B-A-C-H-T, C-H small t, C-H-I, C-L-B-L-T. Lot of credentials there. Teaches meditation, lectures on science and metaphysics, and is excited to share his knowledge. He attained a psychology degree from San Jose University. He's dual certified hypnotherapist, certified hypnotherapy instructor, and skilled spiritual regressionist. And Rich operates a successful science-based healing center in Morrison, Colorado. And I have met him before. He's a lovely man. I want to read a little bit about his book before we bring him on the line. Fascinating recent discoveries from the world of science, including medicine, neuroscience, and even astrophysics, have shown people how enlightened masters of history have been able to accomplish wondrous feats of magic. Not only will you understand how those wonders were attained, you will then be given insights into how to do them yourself. Written in everyday language so that everyone can understand, it will show you how to transform your future. Understanding how the science of today is verifying ancient wisdom traditions will let you comprehend how the sages and magi of old were able to transform the physical universe easily and repeatedly. And once you understand how these two disciplines interact, you'll be given 19 concrete steps so that you can accomplish them yourself. Are you ready to transform your world? And welcoming onto the show who stands in his sunlight, Rich Hawes. Are you there?
I'm here. Good to hear you, Cynthia.
Yeah, nice to have you on the show. Haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah. We've been friends a long time, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, and it's a great book. I have read the book, and it is written so that everybody can understand. It's not written in a kind of language that only some will understand. It really is written in, and I love the pictures you have in the book. It's very well organized as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
No scientific jargon and no formulas, and It's all written in so anybody can understand it.
Yeah, and this world needs that, that's for sure. So one of the things that I thought would be nice to start with is, you know, what moved you to write this book? Is you've done, first of all, I want to say you did an incredible amount of research. It's very clear by the way you wrote the book that you really organize it. This isn't you just penciling out your thoughts. You've really tied this into history and research and yet made it every day. So what made you want to take an endeavor like this and write a book like this?
Well, I've spent many decades helping clients to find healing through past lives or the between life world. And all that was just a real blessing for me in my life. And what I did, though, is I got that chance to get to that stack of books that most of us will get to someday. I actually got to mine. And part of that was understanding Einstein and string theory and multidimensional physics. I've always been interested in science, quantum mechanics and all that. And as I was reading through these things, especially quantum mechanics, I said, wait a minute, this is something that metaphysicians and spiritual thinkers have talked about for thousands of years. They use different terminology, but it's really the same thing. Quantum mechanics says we create reality with our thoughts, and that's been proven by the science. Another easy example is Einstein talked about dimensions, whereas metaphysicians have talked about astral planes for thousands of years. Same thing, just different terminology. And so as I was looking through these, all these connections were being made, and I actually became obsessed with finding more of these in the scientific literature since Einstein. And so in order to explain it, though, I went through 24 basic metaphysical principles that have been around for at least hundreds of thousands of years. Some of the more recent ones were altered states of consciousness and hypnosis and some of those things that have been documented. But some of the other ones, you know, people have talked about, we can change reality with our positive thinking for many generations and many millennia, really. And so I laid out those 24 metaphysical principles so everybody could understand exactly what that is, that consciousness exists after the body dies. That's been verified by University of Arizona. And and not only is it verified, but people can access a consciousness that somebody has passed over. Reincarnation has been studied by University of Virginia. And, you know, they're scientists. They can't say that reincarnation exists, but they say it's the most likely explanation for why somebody can tap into a consciousness of somebody who's no longer on the earth. All these things I put together, and then I relate them to those 12 scientific discoveries or breakthroughs since Einstein, including Einstein, and how they interrelate. And then, as you mentioned, I have 19 steps that anybody can follow in a very simple format to be able to make their own reality of, and also their future much better for them and their loved ones. So it was an exciting project, and I spent about a 6 months of intense writing, and then I submitted it to my publisher, and she said it was about 40% too long for the genre. So I took that out, and I'm now working on that as a second book. But it simplified the process, and most of the people that have reviewed it on Amazon have been very supportive that it is easy to understand and does actually lay the foundation and the connections between the science, and then give somebody a way that they can actually utilize it.
Well, that's just it's fantastic. I'm grabbing something from what you said about past lives. There seems to be a lot of hum about people believing in it, even people that belong to organizations that don't believe in it, believe in it. And I think I had a discussion just the other day with someone who said, well, I'm not convinced that it's past life. And I always think, I cannot remember the name of the doctor, but he went over through the East because that beliefs are more commonly accepted with as past lives. And where they documented, like, I remember a little girl whose leg was cut off on a strange angle. So in terms of being born with a birth defect, it didn't fit the norm. And she had other scarring on her body. I don't want to describe it all, but she kept saying, my other mother lives in such and such town, which was 30 miles away. And they were very poor, so they didn't travel a lot. And he went and investigated, and they put her around these people. She walked right up to the lady whose name she'd been saying and called her, you're my other mother. She knew all the other family members' names. I mean, how anybody could not understand that, I don't know. I mean, the whole story of this was, what was kind of beautiful about it is they were so poor that she only had one leg, and by his research, they got her, I think, a prosthetic, or they got her help, and she was reunited now with two families, and I thought that was also beautiful. But
thinking of Ian Stevenson at University of Virginia, and he actually studied 5,000 cases. Initially, he was hoping to disprove the idea of past lives, and he would go in and he'd get documentation like you just mentioned, and over again he found that there's some value to that. The other thing I tell people is that over many, many years of helping clients, we would not say go to a past life, but they'd come in. One example would be a teenager was referred to me by her doctor because she had consistent seizures over and over again, about once a month, and they could not find a physical cause, so they referred her to me. And so when she came in, we went to the source of her problem. You know, it very well could have been she was dropped on her head as a baby and nobody remembered it, or tried to cover it up, but in this case, she remembered that she was a young person in the 60s, and she got involved in the drug culture, and during that process, she overdosed, and her last memory on the surf was having this convulsion or seizure on the ground, and it was her way of remembering what she went through, that so she would not use drugs in this lifetime and would not be that out of control. And as soon as she remembered that, this is the piece that I find fascinating. As soon as somebody understands the reason for a symptom, it goes away instantly. And so I followed up with her for 3 years, and she had no more seizures because she understood why she was hanging on to that and why she was creating it into her life. So I tell people, I don't know for sure. I believe past lives are real because I've seen it so much, but I don't try and convince them that. We just go into the session to help somebody, and we go to the source of that problem. And sometimes it is a current life problem, but oftentimes it does bring up a past life that somebody needs to remember. Not all of us remember it. Usually it's children that remember it, but it's all recorded in there. there's one of the scientific discoveries is science has found the zero point energy field is another term for it, where all knowledge is contained, past, present, future, personal, scientific. It's like an actual reservoir of all knowledge, and we can tap into that through altered states of consciousness. Metaphysicians for thousands of years have called it the Akashic Records, and that was made famous by Edgar Cayce about 100 years ago. So it became popular in Western jargon, but it's been around a long, long time. So science has basically verified one of these ancient metaphysical principles of something where all knowledge is contained. And the exciting part is that any of us, especially through those 19 steps that are in the book, can go in and find out their own answers. I've also put on my website at sacredquantummetaphysics.com an entirely free Awaken the Enlightened Master Inside You meditation is what it's called. And when I say free, it doesn't mean you have to give up your email address and you're inundated for 2 years with junk emails. It's absolutely free. You can access it hundreds of times. And I tell people to go on there to come in with a question that they're interested in answering about themselves. Maybe they have a phobia or their relationships are always in the same cycle, or it doesn't matter what it is. Anything somebody's interested in, they can go into the Akashic or the zero point field and get their own answers entirely for free. And, people have tapped into this. Einstein, I believe, tapped into the Akashic Records for the zero point field. Nikola Tesla, in his, he talked about being able to go in and find his inventions in this knowledge base, and where he could take them apart mentally in his brain and reassemble them, taking out all the flaws. Edgar Cayce would go to this reservoir of knowledge and find fabulous medical cures for people he'd never met. They just wrote him letters. And so it's been around for thousands of years, but with recent research on altered states of consciousness, people are able to tap into that very easily and repeatedly. So you can get one answer this week and go back in a month and get another answer that you're curious about. To me, it's exciting.
Oh, it looks like we're getting queued up for a break. Do you hear that?
I do.
We will be back in just a minute. Grab a glass of water, and we'll be back with Rich Hawes. See you in a minute.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, talk, touch their hair. Details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones we carry with us every day. Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. Brought to you by Susie G. Coleman and the Ad Council.
And we're back with Rich Hawes. And do we have a thought you wanted to finish, or can I jump in with another question here? Or
The other thing I want to make sure I get in is, it's always nice. Most people that read the book, they want to have it their own for future reference and to go back and refer to, but some people out there may not be able to afford a book, and it's in the library system all through the United States, at least through the Prospector system. And if somebody really can't afford one, they can talk to their library, and if it's out of the country, and have it brought in, it'd be pretty easy, and then they can read it for free. And so you got a free meditation you can tap into and a free book if you need it. And that's exciting to me to get that knowledge out there.
Yeah, I'm glad that you shared that, because I was one of those people that used to, I couldn't get all the books I wanted, and I would go to the library, and so grateful when people share it. And that's very kind of you to have that in the libraries. And also a reminder that you can request it from your library, because there are a lot of people that, they may not just, you could have somebody that's got a bunch of kids and a book is extra. That would be me when I was a young mom. So sure. That's great.
Jefferson County, Colorado got four of them, and periodically I check, and a lot of times there's a long waiting list. So I did ask people to go to their own library and request that they purchase one. And so hopefully that allowed more people to get it quicker. And I'm excited.
Yeah. One of the things I was going to mention, your chapter on levitation, because I had the experience when I think I was in grade six. I went to camp, and I wasn't raised with some of these, what happened to me, but we just started practicing levitation, and we were just having a great time doing it. And I think it's kind of interesting. So after, I think there was about six or seven of us, and just with our fingers, that technique where you just lift each other up. And we just kept lifting each other up in the air, and I kept letting everybody go first. And then finally it was my turn, and they lifted me up in the air, and away I went. And just as they had me high in the air, the camp counselor walked in and screamed at us that we were doing the devil's work. And all of a sudden, heavily, I came down. It really is an example of how their belief systems, all the fear came into them. I was like, let's keep doing it anyways. I didn't believe that, but nobody wanted to do it anymore, and they were very afraid. I didn't realize we were staying at a Christian camp. I didn't know anything about that. I was just a kid at camp. So it was pivotal for me, because also the lady that said it, I was 11, and I just thought she was so beautiful. She had an accent, a different place. And I just thought, you know, I was modeling a lot from her, thinking what a great, you know, person she was, and trying to, you know, you're at that age where you're looking at how my mom used to say, you know, look for people to inspire you. So she was inspiring me. And then all of a sudden it all, our whole camp experience changed. It went from being magical to nothing. And it just shows the power of the mind there.
It does. And if there's people out there listening that have that same kind of orientation, in the book, I talk about, in the scriptures, Jesus says to the disciples and the rest of us that greater things than these will you do. And how many of us have raised the dead or walked on water, levitated, really is what I think that was. And some of the other things, feed 5,000 people with loaves and fishes, and you know, all these things that are in there, change water to wine. Now we can talk about how that's possible in quantum physics. I think he was talking about this time where now we can combine the science somehow, no matter what you think about who he was or how he did it, he's probably using the same science we're using today to do those things. So when he says greater things than this will you do, I think he's talking about modern times where we can combine some of the wonderful scriptures that he brought forth with modern scientific breakthroughs such as quantum physics and string theory and multidimensional physics and astrophysics and all those things that are explained very succinctly in the book.
Yeah, it's so full of, I love that it's so easy to read too. I wanted to ask you about the two-person altered state of consciousness.
Yes. You know, we can't, any of us can go into an altered state of consciousness, meditation, walking meditation, kind of in between the sleep state. All these different altered states of consciousness have been recorded, and they've actually found that telepathy and quantum entanglement and all those things are verified in these studies or research. But what I found is that I could go to this meditation that I mentioned earlier for entirely for free with an idea in my mind that something I want to figure out, why I do this, or, you know, why am I afraid of that, or different aspects of my personality. And you can use that meditation and you go there and you get the answer. Usually you have to wait. I only get my answers that way after 2 days. When I get to the other side, I'm going to ask Spirit, why 2 days? If there is no time, or time is not linear, why 2 days? But for whatever reason, that's my experience. I don't think everybody else necessarily has that experience. But so you get one answer. And if you have a two-person altered states of consciousness, you have somebody as being the tour guide, the other person being in an altered state of consciousness, and they're open to whatever experiences they want to experience. And so the tour guide just keeps you moving to the next place. And to me, that's a very valuable thing. There's a lot of research. I studied with Dr. Michael Newton, who wrote Journey of Souls and Destiny of Souls, about the between life world. He followed people in their past life experiences and said, what happens next? What happens next? And similar to a near-death experience where people have very similar experiences, they come back with reports from the other side. And it's very difficult because there are no words in our language for things that are going on the other side. So people have to kind of find a similarity here. Like people in the natural state are in a ball of energy. Some people call it an orb. And if there's hundreds of spirits around you, they call it, it's like a string of lit pearls or glowing grapes, a bunch of glowing grapes. It's the closest thing they can come to. But eventually he combined them and found out that there's very specific things that happen in the between life world. And then he taught me his techniques for getting there. I was doing this for my clients before I studied with Dr. Newton because he wasn't teaching it then. There's another researcher, Witten and Fisher, who wrote the book Life Between Life. That was in the mid-80s. And Dr. Newton wrote his book in the mid-1990s. And so I, in order to get this healing for my clients, I had them go through what Edgar Cayce called the Akashic Records. And now science has verified it's the zero-point field. So we could go in there and get this valuable information, but you almost need somebody to be a tour guide to walk you through each one of these areas. There's like a time when we're getting ready to incarnate, and we're making decisions about our family and our challenges that we're going to take on, and what body we want to go into, male, female. All those decisions are made on the other side, and then we come into this world and we play those out. Excuse me. That's kind of the idea of karma, but it's not what we generally think in our society. There's a chapter in the book on what karma really is and how it works. It's not a top-down punishment that we think of in our society. It's things that we agree to if we're ready to go through this. And everything's free will. We this is hard for a lot of people. We accept the challenges that we come into in this lifetime, or we create them while we're here. And it's much more of a gentle form of karma that you normally get. But that's the two person. You get somebody who's open to the experiences, and then you have somebody that kind of helps you guide from one place to the next place to the next place. And I find that very, very valuable.
Right. And could you just explain for the listeners who might know, they might know past life, but what is a life between life?
Well, it's if you you look at the science, we're an animal body with a human consciousness that comes into it. We have that consciousness when we're born, and when we die, that consciousness is released and can, if it can go into the first one, well, it can go into the next one. So what the science has come up with is that we're all evolving towards some greater purpose, and it's a very long, drawn out process, unfortunately. It'd be nice if we could all reach enlightenment in one lifetime, but realistically, it doesn't happen. We have to learn our lessons and then come back and learn from our mistakes and make more mistakes and do some things right. And then we go into the next lifetime with a certain schedule of things that we want to accomplish. And part of that is learning those lessons over and over again until we have them firmly in our consciousness, and we don't need to go through that process anymore. So there's a between life that there's areas that are pretty common. The closest thing that people come to a judgment is something that Dr. Newton calls the Council of Elders, or it's our guides who have guides that are all working with us to make sure that we accomplish the best possible lifetime that we can. I say in the book, I went into this with Dr. Newton with wanting to disprove the absurd idea that we choose our family because my mom was crazy. My three out of my, four of my half siblings were crazy, and I was the only landlord that would put up with their insanity. And they came to live in my apartments, and my dad was alcoholic. My mom married my dad because she wanted to focus in on his problems and not her own. And I thought, there is no way that anybody would ever choose that family. And when I got to the other side, I was working with my guides, and I trusted them. They said that this family that I was in would be the most valuable for my enlightenment and my growth, and I trusted them. So I went there. I knew that I could end up in a fetal position in this lifetime and just wait for the next lifetime to come back and do it over and do it better. But they were right. Not only did I survive that as a child, I thrived. I started a charity in this lifetime. I helped a lot of people that were homeless. I've written a book. I've helped thousands of clients over my career as a hypnotherapist. So they were correct. It was a wonderful learning experience. I need to learn about insanity and alcoholism and some of these other things that I was exposed to. But you know, I got through it and put it aside, and I did okay. You know, probably could have done a lot better in a lot of things. All of us could, but in the long run of life, I did okay with that experience. So, that's one of the things that we look at. Another one is when you look at past lives, near-death experiences. One of the things that people experience a lot and they come back and talk about is what's called the life review. You probably heard if you're drowning, your whole life flashes in front of your eyes. And the near-death experiencers, that's a very common situation. And people that are on the other side experience that too. But what they find in both of these is that not only do you experience what you've gone through, but you've also get to experience how it affected the other person. So if you did something good for somebody, kind and loving, you get to experience how that affected them. If you do something selfish and egotistic, then you get to experience how that person felt that aspect. And the whole point of this is we're not judged for something that we do. We have to accept the consequences for what we've done, and we have to understand how we've made the world a better place or a lesser place by our decisions, and we get the chance to go back and do it again and do it right this time. So there's very little judgment. It's all trying to work with you. The Council of Elders, sounds like we got another break.
We got another break. I was letting you finish your sentence there. So we'll be back for our last segment with Rich Hawes. Hold on. We'll be right back.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose. To link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. With me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
And we're back for the last segment. So you were, Rich, you were talking about the idea that on the other side, there is no judgment and the awareness. And I know as my work as a medium, I'm very aware. I shouldn't say often, it comes through from time to time, it comes through that a loved one will have something to say about that. And it's been something that it's always been there for me. I didn't understand at first what I was saying. And then I realized, there is that awareness when we pass about how we have affected others. It's just there. And it's not punishment. It's just, it's awareness, because the blocks that we have in that awareness, we are in a state where that awareness is more available to us. It just is.
Absolutely. And it's a wonderful process, really. It's so gentle and loving all the way along. I wouldn't say there's no judgment, because we judge ourselves. But it's not a top-down judgment where we're condemned to eternal torture or something. That's
sure.
Not in the research. But, we always want to be perfect, and none of us are. So that's part of the process, is to learn that in multiple lifetimes, we all make mistakes. Make decisions we wish we wouldn't have made, and then we come back and we make better decisions the next time, and we can feel some happiness around being able to make a better decision. But so there's internal judgment, but it's not a our guides have gone through their own experiences, so they understand how hard it is. Dr. Newton, when he did his research, he said, if you really, really want a hard lifetime and learn a lot in a short period of time, you choose to become a human, because it's that hard. It's that difficult to deal with our body that's full of instinct and needs and wants, and being able to integrate a spiritual consciousness within that body is a very, very tough process. So, and the spirit on the other side understands that and allows us to make those mistakes and learn from those mistakes. It's just part of our journey toward enlightenment.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I guess I use the word regret. I get regret from people and that is, I guess, you could say a judgment. But I have had people, I can feel different levels of regret. And that's just, I don't know if that's because when I was 12, I made a firm commitment to live without regrets. I don't know, but it's something that's been in my awareness for a long time about living without regret. So,
well, one of the other parts of scriptures that are in the book is Jesus said to people that were about to condemn somebody for their actions, those without sin should throw the first stone. And part of that, what I think he was trying to say, is that we all are making mistakes. We're all on a path, a journey towards enlightenment, and we get caught up into a physical reality or wants and needs or instincts or who knows what else. And so we're all guilty of making mistakes. And he's trying to say, understand that you're not any better than any other person. We're all consciousness trapped in a human body temporarily in a lifetime. And we're all here to learn and to evolve. And if we turn around and say, well, you shouldn't have done this, then we haven't looked at our own self and said, well, you've done the same thing or similar in this lifetime or past lifetime. So it's a very loving spiritual world. I'm just so encouraged when I get somebody over there and they understand that it is a loving experience. It's not a top-down judgment where they're condemned for any of their actions. I haven't interviewed somebody like Stalin or Hitler or whatever, so I don't know if there isn't some threshold where you're not judged. But I have had a client, and that's in the book, that came in for a reading. I was similar to Cynthia. I'd give readings at metaphysical fairs, and he came in to get a reading. And then sometimes I've given instant past life knowledge on clients and why they need to understand that in this lifetime. This fellow's reading, he was a Hispanic fellow with mangled arms, and his reading used the Kabbalah Tree of Life and the Oracle cards to give him knowledge about the 10 light rays of the divine. And all of his cards came up just so positive. You're loved, you're supported, you have divine guidance, all these things. And I was just amazed at it. And, I had him take a picture of the layout, and then he wanted his past life, and I go, oh no, how am I going to explain this? Because you've got to be very careful that you don't give somebody too much information, raw information, and they can't handle it. I saw this fella as a guard in a Nazi concentration camp, and he was he was very cruel to these people. And so I said to him, I saw you in World War I in Germany. I kind of couched it a little bit better so that he didn't get too much information. But you got caught up into the philosophy, and he stopped me right there. He goes, that's exactly what I needed to understand. I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw Hitler on the TV, and he was speaking German, and I knew exactly what he was saying, even though I don't speak German. And it was an opportunity for me to say, remember this reading, how positive it was, how much you're loved, and all this. And I find it kind of interesting that he was a Hispanic fellow in this lifetime, and came in with mangled arms, or I don't know, it could have been something that happened in this lifetime. I didn't pry into that, but he did have the disability. And in Nazi Germany, a minority or somebody with a disability was considered unhuman or below human, subhuman. And to me, it was, of course, he understood some of the pain and suffering he'd caused, so he chose to come in to this lifetime with a disability and as a minority so he could begin to make amends for some of the pain and hurt he'd caused. And so to me, if he could be forgiven for what he did, the rest of us can be forgiven for our little, committing adultery or some of these minor little things compared to what he did. And that's a very positive message that people can get out of the book, is to understand how loving and supportive the spiritual world is.
I definitely feel that. I sometimes wonder, though, are we making amends or are we just choosing to have an awareness in a certain area? But I can't really prove it either way. So I have that question myself because I think the making amends leads to the belief of punishment. So I've never felt like it's been a punishment, but
No, it's a self-imposed thing, and I've thought about this a lot. If you want to spend a minute on it, is when we're on the other side, we can understand all the ins and outs and all the hurt and pain that we've caused, or all the good things that we've done that have magnified our the good part of it, then spirit is not a mechanical system. Let's say we steal something, we don't have to have something stolen from us to reciprocate. It's kind of like the scientific equal and opposite reaction. There's a spiritual equivalent. But if we understand that it was wrong that we stole, and we understand the hurt that we caused, then that's enough. We can go on to the next one. But sometimes we feel like we're justified in revenge, say, and then we get to the other side and we've never quite dealt with it. So we make the free will choice to come in and to have somebody do something to us that causes them to have revenge so that we understand it. So yeah, I agree with what you said. It's not a, not necessarily punishment, but it's a free will decision that, okay, I feel justified in hurting this person because they did this or that. Well, from the other side, you make the decision, okay, I need to experience it firsthand. Perhaps you have a resentment that somebody molested you as a child, so you come back as a molester. With somebody's free will knowledge that you're going to do that, but you get to experience the other side of the equation. It's, so it's very loving and supportive, but it's not a punishment except a self-determined consequence of our thought process and our reaction. So,
right. So I want to make sure, because I know we've got 5 minutes left, that we just remind people, I know, remind people that give them your website and how they can connect with you and then how they can get the book, and then we can chat with remaining time. But I want to make sure that we don't get cut off on that. So if you could just give them that information.
The book is called Sacred Quantum Metaphysics. And the website is sacredquantummetaphysics.com. With the first thing you see on there is that free meditation that you can tap into. But there's a lot of other information. And Cynthia, we barely scratched the surface of the science of the metaphysical principles. So there's a lot more for people if they do get on there or pick up the book. And you know, I'm on Facebook, Rich Haas, R-A-C-H-H-A-A-S. If you Google it, just the metaphysics and the sacred quantum, different areas. So I'd love to hear from people. I love feedback. People that have read the book, I encourage them to, before I even know what they have to say about it, to go on Amazon and write a review. Some of the reviews have just been very exciting for me. You probably know The Wizard, he wrote one, he calls it a masterpiece. He calls himself The Wizard, but anyhow, it's wonderful to have people just give their honest reaction so the next person can see it. And I love feedback. If somebody wants to write me or email me out of Facebook or message me and talk to me about this, or this is my life, so you're never going to bother me with a question about anything spiritual or metaphysical. So I'd love to hear from anybody.
Yeah, I know that it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I know you do this work from the heart. I know you want to make a difference in the world. I know what a gentle soul you are. And so it's been so wonderful to have you on the show. I do recommend you read the book, everyone. And remember, you can contact him. You can request it from your library. We've really just scratched the surface. He really does cover a lot in this book, and it might even give you a launching point from where you want to go next, because it's so full of, it seems like this book is written to just support people. Where do they want to explore next as they unfold in their enlightenment?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So he goes through metaphysical principles. I love the little bit on levitation, learning to be the observer. So check out the book. Thanks, Rich, for being on the show. It was great to have you.
Thank you, Cynthia. I enjoyed it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay. Bye-bye for now. See you next week, everyone.